Hello and welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast series. I am your host, Aarti Rabikrishnan, and I am the founder and MD of Prerna Advisory, based in South Africa. My philosophy and that of my business is to inspire others to make step changes that changes their lives purposefully and productively. Therefore, I coach, consult, capital raise, and partner with all you crazy, beautiful people in the world to make that happen. My guest on this episode is Erin Urban, who is a certified executive coach and career accelerator and helps emerging and evolving leaders remove career roadblocks, unlock their potential, and elevate their careers. She is an international speaker, a behavioral scientist, which I personally love, and the host of the Career Coffee Chat podcast. She's also the author of the best-selling book, Elevate Your Career, More Impact Plus More Income. Erin is a Forbes Coaches Council member, and in fact, that's actually how we met, and also a self-proclaimed recovering perfectionist. I love that. And she's going to share one of those recoveries with us today, which is just going to be absolutely amazing, listeners. So Erin, welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Wonderful. I am so thrilled to have met you and that you are part of the show today. And, you know, that was just a little bit about you. So please tell us more about Erin. What is Erin all about?
Where to start? Well, some tidbits about me is, First of all, I love the outdoors. I'm an avid outdoors enthusiast. And I'm also a lover of all things continuous improvement. Great. And I laughingly say, back when I got my Lean Six Sigma Black Belt certification in continuous improvement and Lean Six Sigma, they say, well, once you go lean, you never go back. And that's very true. And I found myself adopting a lot of the methodologies and thought processes into my personal life.
Okay.
Which we'll learn a little bit about later on and hence evolved into coaching.
Brilliant. Oh, and I love what you said about continuous improvement, because that is actually an area that I actually am a big proponent of too. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how change actually happens. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, there was something that actually happened in your very successful career that actually stopped you dead in your tracks. And I'd love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit about that. What exactly happened that made you sort of take stock and look up and say, hey, what's going on here? Tell us a bit more.
Right, right. So it's what I call my career pivot, if you will, that moment that you realize, oh, I'm not quite the person I thought I was, or at least my impression for others, the other people's impression of me and how I comported myself and my professional persona, if you will, was not what I thought it was. I'll give you a little bit of history. I was very successful in my career, and technically adept. One of those people who was the person who came in when things were going bad. They was like, oh, bring Erin in, she can fix it. I was a quote unquote fixer. So one fine spring morning here in the US, we typically have performance reviews during spring. So one fine spring morning, I found myself in my performance review 1 year in my early career to find out that while I was great at leading all these wonderful projects, I had a lot of success, you know, technically, professionally. The words I heard were, Erin, well, you are excellent in all these areas, and of course, you exceed expectations. We have some concerns. And those are not words you want to hear.
We have some concerns. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
It's sort of like, whoa, what? Well, you have what do you mean?
Yeah.
And they went on to clarify that I was excellent at building client relationships. I did not necessarily bring that same focus inside our organization. So it wasn't that I was unprofessional. I was very professional.
Right.
And I was one of those individuals who believed there should be a firm wall between your personal and professional life.
Right.
I didn't have, quote unquote, time for chit chat. I was very what's next focused, very goal oriented, and a perfectionist, of course.
Uh-huh.
And what I didn't realize was that was really hurting me. Uh-huh. I was looking to move up into leadership role, advance my career, uh-huh. and that was just not happening. And up until that moment, I was really scratching my head. You know, why am I beating my head against this proverbial glass ceiling?
Yes.
What's going on? I was confused. I've done all the right things. I worked long hours. I did all the right projects. I showed up professionally as I thought I should be. Did not realize that the biggest component of career success is not necessarily how technically adept you are,
uh-huh.
how much expertise you have, or how many certifications you happen to be proudly presenting. Uh-huh. It really relies on your ability to develop relationships and manage your presence around others. So how I was showing up was not in alignment with a quote-unquote leadership persona. A true leader
Absolutely.
Is one of those people who is really not necessarily a technical expert, but someone who is more of a people expert. Right. So that's a big awakening moment for me, a big moment. And I would like to say that I left that meeting with, you know, my eyes opened and a whole new person, but it doesn't work that way. It
doesn't work that way. Because, I mean, when you're holding yourself to that certain, you know, standard of excellence, Erin, I mean, getting words like what you said, it must have been, you know, a shock and very difficult to deal with. And I can imagine the emotional state you must have been in. I mean, what was going in your head at that point in time when that was actually happening? In that moment?
Well, I'm ashamed to admit that the words that came out of my mouth were, do you want me to focus on my work or chit chat?
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
So you can see where my head was at the moment. At that time, I was not as aware, obviously, as I am now.
Okay.
And it was, you know, again, I would love to say that I walked out of that meeting with this epiphany. I did not necessarily do that. When you receive feedback that is very counter to your idea of self, you need to process that. And I was very angry and frustrated. I felt unappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, everybody knew it. And I did actually have some intervention that helped me get past it.
Okay. Well, and I mean, that's important, right? Because what you're saying is that in the moment, you know, you obviously, that was the shock. You then took some time to process and then you kind of realized, okay, there's something that needs to happen here. So, you know, how long between that particular performance review and then the intervention and all of that, how long did it take you to kind of get to a point to say, okay, I need to do something and here's what I'm going to do?
It took a couple of weeks.
Okay.
It took a couple of weeks of feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah.
And fortunately, two individuals stepped in. And if it had not been for these individuals, there's no telling where I would be today.
Mm-hmm.
One of those individuals was the CEO of the company. It was a small, mid-sized firm.
Okay.
And he came in and he said, you know, I forget the exact words, but basically, you have a lot of potential. I would like to offer you, you know, this book. I find it very helpful. And at that time, I was very blunt, forthright.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very strong personality. Okay. So I didn't understand that there were different work styles and personalities than my own. At that time, I had a very fixed mindset. I was not aware. The unconscious had not been made conscious yet.
Right.
And he gave me a book, my very first self-development book ever.
Yeah.
And I'd never read one before. And then that coinciding with one of my people that I respected highly, my mentor at the time. He included me in his leadership development program.
Okay.
And it's interesting, when I started reading this book, and it was all about being confident, but from a place of, you know, caring, right? And when I was reading, I think it was the first or second chapter, I just put down the book and I was like, oh my gosh, If I had known this years ago, how far could I be advanced in my life and my career? I mean, I just was not aware of all these things. I was like, why don't they teach this in earlier education? I mean, it was like, why don't they at least teach it in college? I mean, this should be required to understand how to collaborate at the highest level as an individual and how to interact and build relationships. Because truly that, based on our human norm, if you will, that's what drives success. It's not necessarily being the expert. It's not necessarily being perfect. It's not necessarily getting all the things right. It's really about how adept are you at your interpersonal abilities? And we like to call them soft skills. And I don't like to call them soft skills because ignoring them has very hard consequences.
Absolutely.
And I prefer calling it people power.
Right? Oh, power, lovely. Power. Yeah, because it is a power. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It truly is. It truly is. And you know, what's interesting is I didn't have to reinvent myself. That wasn't necessary. Okay. I did not have to reinvent myself at all. Okay. I mean, what I tell my clients is, you know, all it requires is understanding where you are today, where the gaps are, where the opportunities are, and then what small tweaks, what little shifts can you make and make a huge impact.
I love that. The continuous improvement, as we said earlier.
That's right.
It really does shift everything, actually. Not even just perspective, but can actually shift and shape your life. I love what you talked about, the book being placed in front of you, as well as the opportunity to be part of your mentor's leadership development program. I mean, this is for someone in your, like, sort of, like you said, fixed mindset, that was a completely alternative path for you, right? And somewhere, somehow, you found the courage to actually go down that route. And I find that very interesting, because there must have been something else that kind of triggered you into thinking, you know, if I don't do this, something else is going to kind of go wrong. And that's very interesting to me, Erin, that's what happened. You found that courage somewhere to go and do that and start the process. Right.
Part of it is just having the blindfold, if you will, removed from my eyes, was I think part of it, enough for me to say, oh, there's a lot I don't know here. I'm clearly missing some data.
Right. And even then, you're thinking from a data perspective, which is interesting.
Right. I mean, if you want to look at it from that perspective. Yeah. And I'm also a person who, I always seek to be better. I always seek to improve. I'm quote unquote better human. You know, I'm a better human project on myself. And it's not that I'm trying to be perfect necessarily, at least not anymore. There was a time. It's really to say, oh, well, wait a minute. I have all this potential that's not being tapped. What else can I do?
Right.
And when I started reading and learning and developing, you know, my knowledge and making the unconscious conscious, that opened more doors. And for me, I can do this. Oh, wow. And then you start to see results. So that's the thing. And I think that's really what propels not only myself, but anyone going through a personal development or self-improvement program or some sort of transformation.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the information itself, per se. And maybe it's avoiding a pain, for something there. But but also, when you do start to apply the knowledge and you start to see differences, that's what gives you the momentum to say, oh, wow, what else can I do? How far can I go with this? And just to give you, you know, a good ending to the story. After I went through the leadership development program, I don't even think I finished it, but I did finish it, but prior to finishing the whole program, because it was a 9-month program, and less than 9 months later, they made a leadership role for me.
Okay, fantastic.
So I did advance my career, but it wasn't until I did some deep work on me. I had to do a lot of work on me. I had to show up differently. I had to present myself to break down some of those very rigid walls between personal and professional life to be a person, to show up as a human being, not just a physician.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you're talking about dealing with change on so many different levels. And I think it can be really overwhelming for many people. And I'm just thinking, you know, what are some of the things that maybe, you know, our listeners can be aware of when they're dealing with something like this, when they're finding that courage to make that change? How, you know, what should they be aware of? What should they grab hold on to? What are the opportunities that are out there? What do they need to kind of make it, to make it their own story again?
Right, right. Great question. So one of the things I encourage people to keep in mind is don't try to do all the things at once. That doesn't work ever.
Yeah.
So when I made that first shift, it wasn't that I adopted a different persona or I had to don a mask. In fact, it was the opposite. I took off the mask I was putting on for every day to come to work.
Uh-huh.
I actually took it off and it showed up as, hi, this is really me. And people are like, wow, okay, you do. You're more than just a position and someone who does X work, and that's important. And I started to do little things. Like I made a point to get to know people better. I made a point to take a few moments, and it was just little small shifts, because I knew in order to shift other people's perception of who I was and to show up more authentically myself, it didn't require this massive redo of who I am. That's not authentic, right? If you feel like you have to become someone you're not, that's not going to work.
Of course.
And it's important to understand, first of all, based on what feedback you receive or whatever goal you want to achieve, what is the most important step you can take that requires the least amount of energy, and do that first.
That's important. That's important, because if it's something that's going to be a massive change, you know, as part of the step change process, then you're probably going to give up even before you start, because you're just thinking about the magnanimity of the entire thing. So I like what you're saying, the path of least resistance, because at least it builds up that confidence to continue to forge ahead, to build the momentum as you're talking about. Okay. And, you know, fast forward to like now, Erin, I mean, where are you in terms of your personal development journey now, from a goals perspective, from a well-being perspective? Because you've obviously done a whole lot of work since then. Where are you at the moment?
Where I'm at now, I tell you, right now I've been doing a lot of research around success and influence, what drives success, around how people can better influence their lives and influence change. Because I think the word influence has some wrong connotations, like, oh, how can I get people to do what I want? That's not necessarily what we're talking about here, because true influence doesn't require that kind of mindset, if you will.
Yes.
True influence is really starts inside. I've been doing a lot of research and, of course, self-focus on, you know, mindset, what really drives success. And I'll be honest with you, it's very stunningly, it's stunningly eye-opening, because we like, as human beings, to make things complicated. We really do. We like to have our 20-step program, get up 5 a.m., do 14 different things before breakfast.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not saying that if that's what you want to do, you shouldn't do it. You know, if that gives you joy and empowers you, then by all means, that, that's your jam. You do that.
Yeah.
However, it's not a requirement for success.
Mm.
And neither is working ridiculously hard.
Mm-hmm.
Success starts inside. And of course, I don't want to, you know, let all the information out of the bag, because I'm working on a book right now. What drives success, what drives influence as a human being. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur or if you're working for someone else. It full stop as a human being, what success. And it starts inside, and it starts with our inner narrative.
Okay.
What are we telling ourselves?
Yeah.
What is the program you're running? Because we all run on a certain amount of automatic programs, which makes sense. We have to have these programs to not have to learn everything from scratch every day.
Correct.
So it makes sense. So you don't want to learn how to brush your teeth every morning. That would be a drag.
Yeah.
So we have these, and it's understandable. However, I don't think we're aware how much is automatic. How we respond to scenarios, how we feel about certain situations. If you were to think, let's say, you know, you listening in, just consider, what is your gut reaction when I say prosperity and abundance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
you feel like, oh, that would be nice. Or, oh, yes, that's me. What is that feeling? Because that gives you an indication of what type of mindset you have established. And most people are established in a fear and scarcity mindset. And when you're in a fear and scarcity mindset, what happens is you are always sabotaging your goals. Always. You might want to set a goal for career advancement. I want to be promoted, what have you. And then you come up, your mind, your inner critic, whatever you want to call it, starts coming up with all the reasons why it won't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You feel anxious. You feel worried, concerned, and scared instead of feeling grateful, happy, and joyful. What that tells your brain is that you actually don't want it. That's what we don't realize is at the neuroscience level, we are actually programming ourselves to avoid that which we actually want by focusing on what we don't want.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. That's important. An important point that you're making there, because this programming runs so deep and it can actually be counterintuitive and counterproductive as well. We just don't realize it sometimes.
Right. And part of what I do with what I call conscious language coaching, which is the narrative we have internally and what we verbalize, oftentimes we're not aware of the connotations. Take, for example, I was doing a consultation call with a client a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, I said, do you realize that you have articulated that you think you're going to die?
It must have come
about 15 times in our conversation.
Right.
He was like, I didn't realize that. It's okay. Talking about, you know, you're getting older, you don't have much time left, da 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 da.
Yeah.
I was like, are you planning on exiting this earth?
Yeah.
No. I was like, well, okay. What would better support your goals?
Yeah.
What kind of, you know, verbalizations and internal narrative would help you versus reinforce something that you obviously don't want?
Mm.
We do it all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. You're so right. Because, you know, and even when you mentioned about the saboteurs, you know, you getting sabotaged along the way. And part of that process is the fact that we don't even take time to even celebrate our success because we even sabotage that. And, you know, and I think of some of the listeners, you know, with the questions that have come through to the show about, you know, how do you actually take the little wins, you know, even the smallest of wins, and actually enjoy and celebrate that. But at the same time, find a way to celebrate the failures too, Erin. What would be some of your thoughts around that?
Celebrating failures is so important because no success, all success is derived on a succession of failure.
Mm.
Failure is the path to success.
Mm-hmm.
We learn by doing, and what happens for those people feeling stagnated and stuck in their careers is they're so afraid of change, afraid of failure, that they don't want to make any shifts because what if it doesn't work out? What if this is what if themselves to death and then end up just stuck where they are?
Mm.
Success comes from a succession of experience, and not all those experiences will work out, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that there's a difference between failing at something and being a failure.
Mm.
We don't have to embody the experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life that didn't work out. That's life.
Mm.
Does it mean I'm a failure? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from that experience.
Mm.
It would be different if we, let's say, did the same thing over and over again, constantly failing at it, never learned.
So
being stuck in this negative cycle, repetition cycle.
Yeah.
Success comes from a succession of experiences, and those experiences may include failure.
Mm.
Doesn't mean you are a failure.
Yeah.
It just means you're experiencing a setback, or you don't even have to call it failure. It's just an experience. Because here's something that's very interesting. Nothing is either good or bad except for the emphasis we put on it.
Mm. Yep.
If you want to label it a failure, that's a failure to you, but it doesn't have to be a failure.
Correct.
Nothing is either good or bad other than of what we make it to be.
And that's so important in terms of what you said about the programs and the stories as well, right? Because inevitably, when something happens in a current context or a current situation, our brain takes us to a similar context in the past and it holds on to those feelings. So, you know, like you were saying, you may have failed at something, but you shouldn't embody the feeling of being a failure. And yet that feeling still comes into the present moment. And that's what completely, I suppose, hijacks us from even current success. And I'd love to get your insight in terms of maybe even just one thing that someone could do to try and unravel those stories, that programming a little bit. What could they start with today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things I encourage anyone to do is, first of all, what are your goals? Identify your goals. Mm-hmm. What does you want to achieve, accomplish, complete? What is it? What are they, or what is that thing that you want to do? Mm-hmm. And then think about and observe over a couple of weeks, because, you know, it takes some practice. Observation and becoming aware takes practice.
Yes.
Observe your inner narrative. Observe your articulated narrative. Based on your goal, is it supporting or sabotaging you? And what minor shifts can you make in your script to support your success versus sabotaging? So I was talking to actually a colleague, and she was like, yeah, I'm doing a lot of deep work. And I realized that I have this habit of saying, well, life is hard. Because I was making life hard by saying, just constantly saying, well, you know, life is hard.
Yeah.
You may even have these habitual articulation or colloquialisms that we adopt that actually reinforce what we don't want versus what we want.
It's like when we say we're busy all the time. You know, I'm busy. I've had a busy day. It's that reinforcing of that story as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And too, when you say this, what's the emotion? Because emotion is the brain's calling card, if you will. That's its index card to pull out, okay, this is the program I'm supposed to run. Mm-hmm. So what's the emotion attached to that? Let's say use the I'm busy example.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, I had such a busy day, is that with elation, or, oh, I had such a busy day. Exhaustion is, it's terrible. So what's the emotional resonance? Mm-hmm. That matters tremendously, because where a lot of these all these programs are located within our brain is in part of the limbic cortex, so the center part of our brain, and it runs on emotion. Emotion is its calling card, mm-hmm. and it's a signal to say, okay, well, this is happening, therefore we should follow it up with all the reasons why you'll never succeed
and all the negative diatribe.
And, you know, so that's where that's when that is triggered, and you start having these feelings, these thoughts, that inner critic, if you will, that reinforces its negative pattern versus a positive one.
Mm-hmm. And the journey has to be, well, actually, we want the positive ones to be reinforced. Absolutely.
Right,
it's fascinating. Fascinating, Erin. And talking about positive things being reinforced, tell us what's in store for you, Erin, for 2021 and beyond.
2021 is a very interesting year. 2020 was an interesting year and actually interesting, very successful for me as a coach, because I was able to help so many people and career advancement. And I'm seeing that continue into this year specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of narrative coaching, whether that be interviews or executive presence coaching.
Okay.
And of course, speaking around the book and working on the upcoming book, which titled to be released. We're not sure what the title is going to be, but it'll be somewhere around, you know, influence. I don't want to be too kitschy.
Too overused,
but I'm doing research for that. So that will take some time, because I want to make sure that the individuals reading this understand, first of all, that's a very simplistic process, mm-hmm. and also challenging at the same time, because it is so simple and so fundamental.
I'm sure it's really going to shake us up when we get to it. Erin, I can't wait. Best of luck with the choice of the title as well as the content. I'm sure I'm going to be looking out for it too. It's been such a fantastic conversation today, Erin. Thank you. There's been absolute nuggets of ideas, things for our listeners to consider as well, because I'm sure this is going to resonate with a lot of people in their careers. Notwithstanding the specific scenario in your case, the situation that happened with you, but similar sort of events as well with our listeners. And as we talked about, you know, the programming, the stories, how we deal with failure and how that actually either enables or disables our success. It's going to be so important. So thank you so much for that. And I think just to end off, I'd love it if you could share with us an inspirational quote or a lyric, a spiritual verse, something that just resonates with you and uplifts you so that you can continue to do more and be more.
Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes is by Henry Ford. And he says, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. And for anybody struggling with understanding their career clarity or maybe feeling a bit confused, a bit lost, stuck, or frustrated in their careers, you're welcome to access my free career pathfinder guide, which you can find on my website at coacheurban.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And a wonderful way to end off our episode today. Erin, such a pleasure having you on today. Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm very honored, and it's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Erin. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. If you like what you heard, rate the episode and podcast, and feel free to write a review. Plus, of course, share with others too. I love talking around topics like these. So if you like my perspective or insight on a subject close to your heart, or something that you're grappling with, reach out to me in your comments or send me an email via my website or connect with me via LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. All my social media are on the podcast information. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. So happy listening to the Inspire Your Life podcast, and catch you soon on the next episode. Bye.